Jurassic Park 3, Spinosaurus Potter, by Gojira 126, read by Sam Gabriel, based on the works of Michael Crichton and J.K. Rowling. Chapter 21. When word finally got to Harry that the main island was being invaded by outsiders, he was one of the first to get onto a boat that would take them to Isla Nublar. Having stated that she would be more helpful there as she knew his scent better than that of any other creature on the island, he didn't mind, just telling her to stay with Tria as he dealt with the intruders. Within the hour, the boat landed and Harry stepped out. Shifting into his spinosaur body, he sniffed the air before walking into the jungle itself. His darker colors allowed him to blend in with the darkness, though he sort of wished the rain would stop. The rain was giving him away as his outline was shown, though his scent was dampened greatly from the downpour. He sniffed the air, growling softly as he cursed the rain for washing a great deal of the intruder's smells into nothing. He was busy trying to think of a way to navigate through the island before something massive slammed into his side with the force of a speeding steam engine. He roared, surprised by this sudden change in momentum before he was on the ground. Trees had collapsed under his increased bulk. Thankfully, his armored body kept him from having any physical damage. He got up and looked around, growling darkly as he saw the queen of the island snarling at him. She may be smaller than him, but this Tyrannosaurus Rex had gotten bigger than any regular Rex, even on Isla Sorna. Rexy, as all the Tyrannosaurs knew her name, was the first born in this new age. She was the queen of Isla Nublar, and anyone foolish enough to try and take her title was asking for an agonizing death. Magic had made its mark on the female tyrant Lizard King, increasing her size and strength to be on par with or better than his. The changes were minor but obvious, the first being her skull. It didn't have the broad snout of the other Tyrannosaurids. It was thinner and allowed for Rexy to see much more easily. Her eyes watched him closely, no longer relying on motion to tell her where prey was. Her teeth weren't the dagger-shaped ones anymore, oh no. They were the railroad spikes like he had. He also realized she was way heavier in tonnage from the way she shoved him to the ground. She snarled darkly before charging him again, using her head as a battering ram instead of charging mouth open. Harry sidestepped and grabbed her by the jaws, gripping her tightly as she snarled right back.
"I'm trying to save this place, you overgrown bitch!"
he roared, tossing her away, but she kept her balance.
"I don't see a reason why I should,"
Rexy spat back, shaking herself before roaring in defiance.
"Given that you're not supposed to be here, I think I'll remove your taint from my home before it spreads like a wildfire."
Harry hissed, both apex predators circling one another as the rain poured down their bodies. Neither attacked the other until thunder rumbled, both attacking at the same time. The clash was over in moments. Harry found himself under the elder female's foot. She had spun, using her tail to knock him to the ground before pressing her foot to his neck. "He shouldn't have been so stupid," as he growled darkly at her. Rexy leaned in before howling as something slammed into her side. Stumbling away from him, Rexy roared again as another blue explosion knocked the Tyrannosaur off her feet. Harry got up slowly, seeing who had saved his hide. He then spotted Sirius smirking at him.
"Never do things in halves, do you?"
he shouted over the rain, chuckling darkly as he looked over at Rexy.
"Now then, given that I have the advantage here, I would suggest you leave before I blow off something important. Like your foot, for example?"
Rexy slowly got up, glowering pitifully at Sirius before lightly limping away into the jungle night. It seemed that Sirius might have bruised more than the Tyrannosaurus's pride with that spell casting. But Harry didn't care at the moment. He walked over to his godfather and checked him over before more of the security forces arrived, decked out in full military-grade gear and weapons.
"Let's get onto the main path, Brongsnet,"
Sirius grinned before using another spell to light up the forest a bit. Commander Stone looked over the security cameras that still functioned on the island, seeing many of the creatures that had been on the island before the disaster ended the park before it could begin. Around him, his men worked to secure everything into the trucks that would take him and the cargo directly to the mainland. The other trucks would act as decoys, driving to separate locations that had well-known labs in them. We would say that those labs were not worth extracting due to how overrun they would be. Stone would agree with the doctor on that point. None of the equipment would be salvageable due to the years of wear and tear, so it would only be used as decoys. That was the plan, at least, given that the animals they had released had not shown up on the cameras. He wasn't sure what they were. He hadn't looked under the canvas at all.
"Sir, better come see this,"
one of the men at the security cameras said, drawing Stone over to look.
"I think that's one of Wu's creations."
The thing, whatever it was, crawled on all fours into the illuminated path. Its rain-soaked skin rippled as it flexed like it had no bones, wetly pulsing. Its hind limbs looked similar to that of raptors, but all the tones were of the terrible claw that all raptors had. Its long humanoid limbs ended in four-fingered hands, long nails scratching into the concrete to leave marks upon it. Its head was that of a cephalopod, tentacles wetly writhing in the air as its huge dark eyes seemed not to see around it. A long prehensile tail curled and snaked around on the ground as four large spikes on its back moved up and down.
"What did Wu cook up in that lab?"
Stone muttered to himself.
"A demon?"
The thing screeched, though the cameras didn't catch the noise. But its mouth had a beak that opened in a diagonal shape like the letter X. Its four beak parts were shaped to carve and saw into flesh, the serrations on the beak giving the impression of teeth. It then dashed into the forest, moving like a snake would. Stone shuddered before his radio crackled to life, saving him from looking at the alien creation.
"What is it?"
he asked, grateful for the distraction.
"All the equipment has been collected and loaded," one of his men said. "Only the files are being loaded now. We're ready to move in 20.
He looked at his watch. 3 hours till the boat arrived back to collect those that would make it. All the men knew the risks, that's why he personally handpicked them. He acknowledged the report and started giving orders to get the convoy into the next phase of the plan. Sirius grimaced as he got into the building that used to be the main hub of the entire park, using drying charms to remove all the rain from himself and his fellow humans. Harry had left into the night once more, leaving him to deal with the little details with the current head of the operation.
"So head to security and see what's up?"
The man, Roberts, if Sirius remembered correctly, nodded his head. Men and women were quick to secure the area before they got to the security room, as they set up bypasses so they could hack into the computer systems. Soon, power was going into the systems and access was granted. Sirius looked around before something caught his eye on the feed, seeing something large in the darkness before it pounced onto the back of a hadrosaur. Its short snout and foul attitude put Sirius off as he watched as the thing ravaged into the corpse, clearly insane. It screamed into the night before it rushed off, leaving a decimated corpse behind. He used a Patronus to send a message to his godson, warning him of this new threat. Harry was busy scouring the area when he got the message, frowning as the thing didn't seem like something natural to Isla Nublar. In fact, it seemed like something the primitives of Isla Crania would breed into life. He slowly made his way to the path that had been used by the convoy, from what he had learned from the security forces. He then caught something on the wind, the rain slowly dying down as the storm finally passed. He hissed before ducking as a black shape shrieked death and violence, almost incoherent in its cry. It landed on the ground, spinning around as Harry looked at it. He growled darkly, studying the predator before it flung spikes at him. He dropped onto his belly, his armored hide causing the spikes to bounce off, but he swiped his claws out at the thing. It lost both of its feet from his massive talons easily carving through the flesh and bones as it collapsed in utter frothing rage. Harry pitied this thing. It was utterly insane, and it couldn't have been very old. He stomped on its head, crushing it underfoot as he looked around. He sensed something was off as he looked around. Then he spotted it. It slinked through the shadows, making wet, slathering noises before it rushed away into the night. Harry chased after it, not letting it get away before it turned on him. In a moment of shock, his magic reacted and the thing was gone, except it wasn't dead. He had a sneaking suspicion that his magic sent the thing to Skull Island, as he felt pulls from across Isla Nublar. He shrugged and continued to look for the intruders, but didn't find anything until hours later, much too late for anyone to do anything. Commander Stone got out of the truck as the boat's ramp was closed, as he counted about 3 out of the 7 trucks. He grimaced before walking deeper into the ship as the rest of the men were quick to tie down the trucks. Stone was going to his chambers on the ship to write down those that were lost on this trip, though the cost was needed. The boat had arrived an hour earlier than expected, the convoy only halfway through the decoy routine, with Stone having to order them back to the ship. The rest of his men were lost to the island. He would have to personally make sure their families were well off. He knew that the pay would mostly go to them, something his morals said he would do. He grunted before an alert went up over the ship, pulling out his gun as the red lights flashed. He looked around in confusion before something launched itself at him, his gun going off with a roar. The body that crashed to the ground was around the size of a lion, with a thin body which had a huge skull and oversized frontal limbs. He had the feeling he had seen this creature on a TV show, something about time travel and prehistoric animals. He frowned before kicking the body, the limp limb flopping as the skull bled from the armor-piercing bullet that tore open its head. He carefully walked down the corridor, spotting more of the animals as they screeched and attacked his men. He started firing into the heads of the animals, dropping them like sacks of potatoes. His men were also quick on the uptake. Only a few were dead or unable to defend themselves. He grunted as he called over the radio, getting everyone's attention.
We're under attack from some sort of animal. Bat monkeys, from the looks of them. Use armor-piercing rounds on the skull. Use stun grenades. If it's a bat at me, use echolocation.
Within several hours, the entire ship was cleared. He grunted as he shot the last living animal in the face, brain matter going everywhere across the floor. He then got a report. 4 dead, 10 in critical condition. He growled darkly, shaking his head.
Put the bodies into a net and toss them over the side. Only save 2. And those will go into the ship freezer so the good doctor can look at them. These things are not natural, he ordered.
He reloaded his weapon as his men went off to do as he ordered. For the full text of this and other stories by the same author, visit the AO3 page of Gojira 126. Music from Jurassic Park for the Nintendo Game Boy, gratefully used by permission of composer John Dunn. Special thanks to Sakiko. If you would like me to record a story, voiceover, or character, please get in touch with me using the contact info on my website, which is located at samgabrielvo.com. And there you can find links to other stories that I've read, my Discord server where you can attend live recordings of all of my ongoing projects, and various ways to support what I do. And finally, as always, thank you for listening.